Hello, how are you going?
Good, you've still got your flower in the hair from the lunch.
I've still got the flower in the hair. I've bought a few extras as well to share the flower love around.
Awesome. And how was the what is it, the flower child at Chatsworth?
It was great. It was really good. Yeah, very funky food, beautiful decor, very popular. So yeah, pretty good.
Awesome.
That's a
Well, everyone,
quick buzz.
this is the wonderful Brooke McCarthy. She's fresh from hosting a freelance jungle in Chatsworth in Sydney, in the Flower Child, and she's here to talk to you about the non-planner's business plan. Did I get it right for a change?
You did. You got it right,
Yeah,
which is great. Because the very first video I created, I used a different. I think I jumbled the whole name. The non-planner's business plan.
indeed, indeed. And what prompted you to actually launch something that was a non-planner's plan?
I suspect that there's a lot of people like me out there. So I have been working for myself for 8 years now, and I do a lot of training. So in the last, particularly in the last 4 to 5 years, I've traveled around Australia and I've met a lot of business owners face to face, and a lot of them tend to be sole traders, also a good handful of small business owners. And I've heard their stories, and I know that there's a common thread amongst clients that I attract, where they tend to be quite creative people, and creative people don't tend to be great at planning. And that and you know, I think about these things like a spectrum. So you're not like a planner or a non-planner. There's a kind of a spectrum. And so I'm definitely not up the planning, the hyper organized type A planning type of person, but I do work off a planner, and I know how important it is. And I think that most people recognize that. Most people in business recognize, that they do need to be working off a plan. They need to have some kind of plan.
Okay, and what does it take to build a non-planner's plan? Because I mean, I am one of those, I am a type A personality that produces the 60-page document that goes into every single micro detail. So to me, when someone says it's a non-planner's business plan, what does that actually look like? And what kind of things do you focus on to make sure that you've got the same sort of coverage as people like me?
So firstly, I don't think it would be very useful for people like you. And in fact, I've had a few people reaching out who have said, "Oh, I love planning. I'm a huge planner. I'd love to join your non-planner's business plan." I'm like, waste of time. Carry on with your superpowers. I have nothing to teach you. But what I do know is I know that creative mentality. I know people who are oftentimes in a bit of a hurry, and certainly that's where I fall down, is I tend to be in too much of a hurry to slow down enough to actually think through and write out a plan. What they get out of it is they get the basic fundamentals of of writing a business plan, which starts right from the start of what is it that you want. And it's a simple question, and also a very, very complex person. Sorry, a very, very complex question. And a lot of us, we're so busy being busy, we don't ever allow ourselves, the luxury of pausing for a moment to say, well, look, is this the path that I really want to be on? Is this really what I want to be doing? So this the first three questions, the first three parts of the 12-part, it's a 12-step process, and the first three steps are highly creative, and it does require you to kind of put the pause button on that kind of analytical, oh, I've got to get stuff done, which some people really struggle with, to give themselves that time out. And then we go all the way up to, so who's going to help you with this plan? Because even if you are a soloist, even if you are a freelancer or a sole trader, you still need to work with other people. And I think that's a sign of maturity in business, when you recognize that, you can't keep doing absolutely everything yourself. Even if, you are one of those kind of well-rounded people who are able to, conceivably do a lot of things. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to be doing that year in, year out when you don't enjoy it. You're not very talented at it. You're going to take five times as long as somebody who is talented at it, you know, and it's part of working smarter.
Yeah. And so with the people that are out there that are alien to them, or it might be a bit of a scary prospect, if mm-hmm. you gave them, say, one page or two page, what key headings would you tell them, okay, this is the stuff that you need to cross the finish line with your goals, or this is what you need to think about if you're looking at this particular type of project or business?
Well, a lot of it has to do with focus and with prioritizing. And, you know, again, this is a massive topic. We could probably talk about focus and prioritizing, just those two things, you know, for yeah. hours and hours. But, you know, a lot of getting stuff done requires you to press pause on other things. And, you know, part of being creative and part of working with creative people is that I'm constantly feeling like I need to I'm trying hard not to dampen their enthusiasm, because I know how much fun it is, you know, to have one thing and the next idea. You know, we don't tend to be short on ideas. We tend to be short on follow through, and we tend to be short on actually getting stuff, you know, completed. And, you know, the problem with starting stuff and not finishing stuff is it takes up too much mental headspace. It kind of, you've got a whole bunch of squatting projects in your head, you know, that take up, you know, this thought space, and you know, and don't give you any peace, you know, and it becomes this kind of stick to flog yourself with, you know, that was a great idea, and I was so, you know, I got so much done when I started it, and I never quite saw it through. You know, so I think that focus and prioritizing is absolutely essential to that. And then, you know, learning also how to map, how to have the self-awareness to decide what's going to work for you, because there's, you know, there's countless articles on the internet about, you know, the 10, I hate those articles, you know, the five key things that, you know, super successful people do first thing in the morning, you know, the 10 habits of, you know, of people earning $1 million+ a year. And, you know, it's kind of fun in a voyeuristic kind of way, but it's also quite useless. And it's a form of extended procrastination, reading those productivity articles, you know, because really to be able to avoid procrastination and be able to focus and to prioritize and to take decisive action and conscious action, so that you're aware of what you're doing rather than click, 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 you know, and it's so easy when you're sitting in front of the internet at home by yourself with no boss looking over your shoulder, you know, to get distracted and to know how to focus, to know how to prioritize. A lot of that has to do with self-awareness, you know, what works for you, what are the key triggers that will stop you from focusing, that will break your focus, that will cause you to get distracted rather than to know exactly what to do at any given time, at any given day. And that's going to be different, you know, for each individual. And that's really, I think, something that's absolutely essential, not only in life, but especially when you're self-employed.
Indeed. And so when you do the whole non-planning idea, is it the whole idea of taking those shiny ideas that we get distracted by, or that we dream up in the shower, or that we, you know, if we talk to somebody and they like a particular aspect of what we do or the projects that we're launching, and is it sort of like looking at that and seeing how that fits in with what we're trying to achieve? Like, is it sort of like designed to be a barrier against going off track in that respect?
Yeah, look, I think it's absolutely, you know, I don't know if I'd use the word barrier, but definitely, you know, it's easy to listen to other people's opinions. And especially when you're trying something new, so, you know, say you're new to freelancing, you know, new to self-employment, or you're trying something new, you're changing up your business model, you're moving into a different niche or offering a new service, you know, it's very normal to go looking for opinions and ideas from other people and to try and model who's done this already. And it can be not only hugely time, you know, time consuming and inefficient, but it can actually be quite destructive. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that lie. I know, it's amazing. But, you know, I kind of always assume the best out of people. I just assume, that everybody's, you know, everybody's a good person and that they're telling me the truth. And the longer I live, call me naive, maybe I'm a late learner or something. But, you know, the people just lie. They lie outright about their experience. They lie about how much money they're making. And they lie about their skills as well. So, you know, it's easy to kind of take advice from people that you think are qualified to give it, and then unfortunately find out that, you know, they've given you a bum steer, or that if you just had the self-confidence and the self-awareness, you could have figured it out, you know, with less input from other people. And, you know, and it's a bit of a balancing act, because you don't want to be an island. You know, and if I could do my time over, if I could start 8 years ago and begin again, one major thing I would do differently is I would have been way more collaborative, rather than thinking that I needed to, you know, sit by myself and figure out everything by myself and not show, you know, any weaknesses or any lack of knowledge. But you've really got to choose your counsel wisely, and that's especially so on the internet, because you know you can be reading articles and reading blogs and listening to videos. You know, you can make a full-time job of, you know, self-educating using the internet, and I think it's really increasingly important to be able to cut that stuff off and to have the ability to really focus on what it is you're needing to find out and who you're going to listen to.
Absolutely. And so when you're planning, what kind of things do you plan out? Do you plan, because I know that you've got your brookmccarthy.com where you know do face-to-face client stuff, you've got your coaching business, you've got your group coaching business, which is Hustle and Heart, plus you present the workshops, plus you do the panel conversations, plus you do all this traveling around everywhere to to give the marketing advice and all the rest of it. So before you do any of these little things,
yeah,
what process do you go through?
Well, firstly is one of the major things that the non-planners business plan teaches. Sorry, I think we had a bit of weird Wi-Fi.
No,
One of the first things that the non-planners business plan process teaches is to have a single focus, and to have one goal that overarches all other goals. It's the top priority. And for most people, this is, excuse me, this is money. So we pick a figure, you know, and I've done this in groups plenty of times where I've been talking to professionals and I've asked them, how much would you like to make this year? And I'm astounded how many people never ever stop to think about that. They never stop to think about that. It's not until they're applying for, you know, they're in some kind of serious predicament that they stop to ask themselves these questions. And if we don't have, you know, a figure in mind, how on earth are we going to achieve that? So firstly, there's to narrow the focus down. This is this is torture for most creative people. Pick one thing. They go, and then to have the five sub goals that are supportive of that, you know. So I meet a lot of people and, you know, they've got this thing going and this thing going and this thing going and this thing going, and they don't work together. They don't fit together. They don't really, you know, all these different projects that they've got going are quite distinct. And it, you know, it makes life really, really difficult. So to have one overarching purpose, and then to have those five sub goals that support that goal, and to have these kind of working together as best you can, is really a smarter way to work. So, you know, you asked me, how do I go about planning for myself? The first thing that I look at is, you know, whether or not it's something that I enjoy doing, and whether or not it's going to satisfy that overarching goal. So I tend to, my bias is, have I ever done it before? So if I haven't done it before, I really like doing stuff that I've never done before. And, you know, maybe that's not the most efficient way of working. Maybe, you know, no doubt I could be making much more money if I didn't operate like that. But I find it very invigorating. I find it personally very, very satisfying, and you know, it gives me energy to be doing something that I've never done before. And you know, and absolutely there has to be an element of enjoyment to it, because if I don't enjoy it, I'm not, you know, with the best of intentions, I'm not going to do as good a job as I would do if I'm enjoying it. And then I tend to break up each project, and each project has its own little plan. I've attempted to kind of overlay, you know, all these plans and kind of come up with this major comprehensive plan. Doesn't work for me. Does not work for me. You know, this is when my eyeballs start spinning in my head. So each project that I do has its own little mini plan. And if I'm trying to decide whether I can say yes or no to a project, then I'm definitely looking at timing. I'm looking at, you know, what other projects have I got happening at that particular time? And can I afford to fit something else into that time, or would it be, you know, a self-defeating thing to do? So, you know, each project has its own little mini plan, and, you know, it's really basic. I mean, I created the non-planners. I'm not going to create the super organized type A planners plan. I'm going to create the non-planners business plan, because, you know, my planning probably looks quite radically different from your planning. I tend to do better when it's in short, when it's I'm only planning 1 month, 2 months, 3 months in advance. That's not to say that I don't book things. You know, I've got, for example, I've got some in-house training gigs that are booked in September, October, November this year. And certainly when I'm scheduling a face-to-face course around Australia, I need to be pushing that, you know, at least 4 months in the future for it to be practical. But I work best when I'm just planning, you know, a month, 2 months, 3 months, a kind of a rolling 3 month plan.
Excellent. The challenge is, no matter what kind of planner they are, is that whole the grass is greener. So by having that one focus, you're picking to have that one idea as your focus and all the rest of it. How do you deal with the fact that these other things are knocking on the side of your head going, but you're missing out on this opportunity, or you could be doing this and all that kind of stuff? Because, I mean, creative brains always have ideas. I mean, I've got journals full of ideas and all the rest of it. How do you stop them from getting on top of it?
Well, I think this is something that I continually grapple with, you know, and it's a kind of a work in progress. I don't claim to have all the answers with this. But what I find works really well, not only for myself, but also for other people that I've spoken to, is to say yes, say to your brain, yes, we're going to get there. Yes, that could be a stellar idea, but it doesn't have to happen straight away. You know, it doesn't have to happen in the next week. It doesn't have to happen the next 3 months. It might not happen this year. You know, I've got this great idea. I'm going to capture it. I'm going to write it down, and then I'm going to put it to the side. And it's going to happen, but it can't happen right now, because, you know, the great tragedy, if that's not too strong a word, the great tragedy of being a creative person and having, you know, plenty of ideas is that when you're trying to do all of them, you end up doing a rubbish job, you know, and that's really not giving the idea that the respect that it's due. You know, you would do the idea a far greater service, you know, if you were to give it the proper attention, to give it the proper resources, which includes, you know, your headspace. And you won't have that headspace if you've got, you know, 10 other things on the go.
Excellent. Okay, so I'm going to throw the floor out to the people that are on the sidelines here to see if they have any particular questions for Brooke. You know, you can type your little questions there. I'm having a look at all the people joining and everything. Just so you're aware, guys, this is actually our first blab doing this kind of thing. It's my first blab doing this. It's probably Brooke's second blab ever. So, you know, if we're a little bit rusty compared to some of you other guys, that's the reason why. So if you want to throw in a question, feel free to type. All you need to do is do /Q and you can put the question in and we can pose it to Brooke. And I think the next thing, non-planners business plan, because I know I did see that you're launching something to help people. It's like a challenge or something, and I just thought I'd jump on that here, and you could let us know about what this challenge is that you've got going.
Sorry, can you ask the question again? Because the Wi-Fi was in and out a little.
Oh, sure. Can you let us know about the challenge that you've got going, the non-planners business challenge?
Absolutely. So I'm just going to post a link now. That's to the Facebook group. So if you're not already part of the Facebook group, I highly recommend that you just click. It's a closed group, so you'll have to request to join. You'll have to click on the request to join button. And once in that group, you'll be kept up to date, with what's going on. So basically, there's two options. You can join at any time, and you don't have to wait for anything. You can join up and start getting those 12 emails that happen over a 12-day period, what I recommend if you can afford to wait a little, you can wait till the 4th of April, and then you're going to go through it with a group of people. So you're going to have the support of this group in the Facebook group of, self-employed people, freelancers, small business owners who tend to be creative, who definitely don't tend to have their multiple diaries and organizers and wall calendar planner thingamajigos going on, but who recognize that planning is necessary. So you can join the Facebook group first, and then I'll be posting in there when we're about to start. You can sign up and you'll receive one email a day for 12 days, so 12 emails in total. It's designed to be done in as short a time frame as possible, so it should only take you 20 minutes a day for 12 days, and it involves some questions and a few notes on the questions. There's also a short video. You don't have to listen to that if you're not inclined. You can just download all the worksheets and work through them.
Great.
At the end of the 12 days, you'll have your business plan waiting to go, and then it's a matter of actually implementing it.
Awesome. Come on, guys. Don't be afraid. Ask your questions if you feel like it. Brooke's very approachable, as you can tell. She is, after all, wearing a flower in her hair. Hey, here we go. Lisa, Brooke, I'm planning to take a short career break sometime next year, but I have no idea where to start in terms of planning the break, so my business goes on without me having to manage it on a day-to-day basis. Any ideas on how I start planning?
Absolutely. So the first thing would be to start writing down exactly what you do every day. I know it's no fun. But to keep a really comprehensive report on exactly what goes into any given day, so that you can start creating little templates around that. So this is something I've been advocating for some years now. It's amazing how many businesses don't do this. They avoid writing anything down. They have no templates. They think, well, if I don't have any staff, I don't have to worry about, I don't have to worry about that. But I think templates are absolutely, really, really useful because of the fact that I don't want to be reinventing the wheel every time. I don't want to be doing admin. I want to be doing as less admin as possible. And so if I can write these things down and keep, even if I've got nobody to delegate it to, even if I still have to do this particular task, then I don't have to think about it every single time. I don't have to remember what exactly I did and in what order. So writing it all down would be a really great place to start, and then you'll have a whole bunch of information that you can analyze and decide, okay, I'm spending 30% of my time doing this, using this particular software program, or I'm spending a lot of time making phone calls or trying to arrange appointments with people. What can I automate out of that? Because minimizing admin is one thing, but if you can get rid of it, that's even better. So, something as simple as using an online scheduling tool such as Calendly or Acuity. I use Acuity Scheduling. It takes away, a hell of a lot of that, low value admin that we're doing all the time. And that's time that you've freed up to be working on other way more fun and creative things in your business, rather than sending emails back and forth trying to find a good time to meet somebody.
Awesome. Okay. And so with that whole idea of taking time off, whether we go on holidays or whether we take time off because for women it might be childbearing. Yeah. For men, it might be other things to kind of do. How do you keep the business ticking over with the minimum amount of planning? Do you, you know, is it as simple as writing out things that you need to do to keep the show looking like it's happening so that when you restart it's still there, or how do you go about managing those kinds of situations?
I put everything in calendars. So I find if it's not in a calendar, if it's not, you know, in my diary, it ain't gonna happen. So for example, when you start working again, that's often a really difficult period, not only because you'd rather be on holidays, but also because you're kind of a little, you know, you're kind of a little lost. You're stuck there scratching your head, trying to remember what you were up to and what needed doing. So if you can schedule into your diary, you know, for the week or the 2 weeks or the month that you're coming back, you know, this has to be done on such and such a date and this has to be done, you know, it's going to make life a little bit easier, let's just say. The other thing, and this is a mistake that I've made in the past, you know, multiple times, hopefully never to be made again, is to not be as communicative and upfront with my clients as I should be. You know, I think it's perfectly reasonable to be unavailable and out of reach. And indeed, you know, we don't have superannuation. We don't have superannuation as somebody else's responsibility. You know, we give up a lot in order to work for ourselves. And one of the advantages of working for yourself is that you can take time off. And so, you know, we should take time off and not feel like we have to respond to emails and telephone calls. But hand in hand with that goes, you know, the responsibility you have to your clients to give them plenty of notice. And let them know exactly what's happening and when it's happening. And, you know, if you can give them an alternative person or even, you know, a few options, you can deal with this person, you can deal with that person, to have those numbers on the autoresponder, to have those individuals and their contact details in your email autoresponder, you know, that's going to be really helpful for your clients. But I've had multiple holidays you know, gone a little skew if because I haven't had those clear boundaries in place, and because I've not done a great job at being clear, you know, with the expectations for you know, for how much I'm going to be available, or even if I'm going to be available at all. So yeah, that would be something definitely that I would, you know, that I it's something that I kind of have to work deliberately on, because I naturally kind of, you know, I want to jump in, I want to be responsive, I want to be helpful, you know, so it's something that I need to keep working on.
Awesome. And one final question. When all of the stuff falls off plan, is it just a simple case of actually just going back to the original one, or do you need to be a little bit flexible, or, like, how do you manage it if everything just goes boom?
Look, you know, I think that's a huge and very important question to ask, because the thing that I see over and over again is that people take their failures in business, and I'm using this as small f failures with inverted commas. They take it all very, very seriously and they tend to become quite dramatic about it. So, you know, if something hasn't gone according to plan, say for example, you know, you had one of your sub goals was to grow your email list to, you know, 2,000 email addresses, and you got to a certain date and you had, you know, woefully under, you know, missed that. A lot of people are kind of like, oh, I'm just, that whole thing is a disaster. I'm a failure. Forget it, you know, I'm no good at this stuff. I should just take up pottery because I was really good at that, and maybe I'll sell plates for a living. You know, and I think that's really, it's hugely important, and I know that's something that we've spoken about a lot in the past, Beck, to build up that emotional resilience. You know, it's so important in life, and particularly in self-employment, to have that robust spirit that says, okay, well, you know, I didn't achieve that target. I had that goal. I haven't managed to achieve it. You know, it ain't the end of the world. I've still got a pulse. You know, there's life in the old girl yet, and I'm going to have another go. And to be able to go back to the plan and say, okay, so, you know, what happened here? And most of the time, you know, when people are honest, I've done this with clients plenty of times before with business coaching clients. We look, you know, at the plan and we're like, well, did you do this? Oh, no, I didn't do it. Well, funnily enough, you didn't get the result that you were looking for. You know, but I think that's the case with particularly with marketing and with advertising, that old advertising adage that, you know, 50% of my ad money is a waste. I just don't know which 50%. You know, there's a lot of trial and error in business. There's a lot of trial and error in marketing. And, you know, we deny that. We go out of our way to try and find the steadfast, you know, surefire, absolutely guaranteed it's going to work type of thing. And it's, you know, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time trying to find that, you know, that one thing that's going to be an absolute guarantee, a sure thing. You know, so trial and error and having, you know, disappointments and having expectations that weren't met, it's just past the, you know, it's par for the course. It's how it works. Yeah, so you just get up and you write a new plan. You say, right, let's start over. What did I learn? What worked? Because there's gonna, you know, there's almost always going to be some part of the plan that worked. You know, and the tragedy when you, you know, when you think that the whole thing's a write-off and you're a great failure and the plan hasn't worked is you throw everything out. You're like, right, I'm going to take up trapeze. I'm going to, you know, write a book.
So the message is basically if it falls off, don't be so hard on yourself and just get back to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had plenty of experiences over the last 8 years where I've been all excited about something. I'm like, it's going to be great and it's going to be grand and I'm going to, you know, there's going to be, you know, a room full of people and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. You know, and the reality is very different from it. But the thing is, nobody's watching. I think a lot of the time in business, we feel like everybody's watching us, and especially with the internet. You're like, you know, I've just got people and every morning they're logging into Facebook and they're watching my page and they're waiting to see, you know, what the next fuck up that I make and the next mistake. And, you know, the reality is that people aren't watching that closely. You know, I cancel courses, I cancel classes, I cancel workshops. You know, I very, very rarely does anyone email me and say, hey, you know, you were supposed to come to Adelaide and where are you? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, no, nobody cares as much as you do. So if you can get over that idea that everybody's watching and that this is a great public humiliation, you know, then you're going to be so much better off. You know, it's you're really going to realize that it's not too big a deal. And, you know, you have an extra glass or bottle of wine that night, you know, by all means feel bad about it. But then, you know... started early, darling. I've only got the water.
Well, I am coming to you live from the Collegian Rugby Club in Wollongong. Yeah. So I thought I'd take you guys by having a glass of wine with my pretend Friday lunch.
Good.
I don't normally start drinking at 3 o'clock.
Put the writer in a bar and expected to order water. It ain't ever gonna happen. Yeah, let's give Beck some props for wine. Just double click the screen.
Well, I think that's a wrap. I'd like to thank you, Brooke, for giving your time today. As you guys might not be aware, nobody gets paid for doing any of this stuff. All of the freelance stuff for the Freelance Jungle is actually volunteer. People are letting you scoop out their very expensive brains for absolutely no money whatsoever. If you want to follow Brooke's journey, you can catch her at brookemccarthy.com or hustleandheart.com.au. She's got the Non-Planners Business Challenge coming up. You should join that Facebook link that she's generously put in the chat and keep posted to what she's doing and follow along. And, of course, keep up to date with the Freelance Jungle because we'll be sharing more details about Brooke and her adventures as she goes along.
Thank you very much, Beck. I'll bring the wine next time. Maybe we could push it back an hour.
Oh, that's great. Great. We've got someone's decided.
Looks like Beck's frozen. Are you still there, Beck? Well, I might sign off. Yeah, we lost her. We lost her.